This week's reading you've just heard is about another covenant, a more specific covenant of God with humanity that is about growing and becoming a community and a nation and a world. It's a covenant for sustaining life. So God says it will happen through Abram and Sarai. But as you know, as you've heard, Sarai's too old to have a child. And so the reader or the hearer, like us, finds it difficult to identify with this couple, this old couple, as being a special family of blessing. It's hard to believe it because we know she's too old to have a child. It tells us she's barren. Now, partly we have to understand a little bit about what's happening in this writing of the scripture story. It's generally understood by biblical scholars that this section of Genesis actually comes from the hand of a much later writer writing back into the past to tell a people that there is hope. He's writing with the knowledge of the people who had experienced the loss of land and nationhood through the Babylonian exile. They knew barrenness in a huge way and despair in all its forms. So in this story of Abram and Sarai, the writer is insisting that the ancient covenant, it's still valid, it's to be believed, and that the people of God will see the promise fulfilled. It's a message of hope, and it's a message of promise for restoration and renewal and new life, and that is the gospel message, too, that we hear later. But this new covenant will require a response, unlike the covenant of the rainbow. This new covenant will require very specific acts of obedience, of belief, of faith on the part of humans. This new covenant is enacted by God. God claims God's rightful place at the center of creation and then requires Abram to live always in God's presence and to be blameless. And we could talk about whatever blameless fully means, but I think it's a really tall order nonetheless. In return, God promises to make Abram the father of many nations and to give his offspring land. And in Hebrew, it's ha'aretz, and it is still a very, very important word in Israel. This new covenant is made known in the changing of names. Names are very important. Think of the names you give your children and why you choose those names, what they mean to you and what they will mean to your child as they grow. This new covenant with God is seen in the changing of names. So Abram, or Avram, however we want to say it, his name means divine ancestor. Abram is told by God that his name will now be Abraham, or Avraham. And that's Hebrew for the ancestor of a multitude of nations. So his name is changed to signify something more. The changing of his name implies both the authority of the giver of the new name, meaning God, and the new destiny or mission indicated by the new name, meaning the life ahead for Abraham, the Hebrew people. And therefore, believe it will be true. That's what the writer is saying. Rescue and restoration, renewal, new life, it happens, it will happen for them. And land, ha'aretz, becomes part of this covenant as well. Although not specifically mentioned, it's understood that the land they will receive would be fertile, able to sustain their families and their herds. Like, well, why else would it be part of God's covenant? So as the land will not be barren, and as Sarai has promised to see an end to her barrenness, fertility in all ways will return to this family, to the whole nation. Not just where they are today, they will know more, they will know new life, not just the barrenness and despair that they live. The promise of God to Sarai is for fertility, renewal, beyond her as a person, beyond water. It is a sustaining promise for fertility into the future of the land and all future generations. If we look back just before even this story, we look back on Noah's son Shem, we find that he is known as the father of the Semitic peoples, which includes the Hebrew people, beginning about, say, 1500, 1200 BC. And that's when they migrated to the Syria-Palestine area. The generations that followed Shem include, you know, the son after son after son that you read in the Bible. Those sons are like Peleg and Serug and Nahor and Terah. Terah is the father of Abram, who will become Abraham. But what's fascinating is these names aren't just the names of sons of people. They're the names of places. So it's not just individuals, but descendants of Shem in places with people that are living in community. That's what you're being told. They represent the covenant that is living and growing and restoring the people to God, to growth, and to a land that sustains them, that is fertile as they are fertile. Even in, as in the story, they are from the sons of Noah and Shem and Abraham, all in that line of sons. The nation will grow and has grown. Holding on to this ancient covenantal, say, belief about God, I believe that that's how we can see and know God is active in our world too. It's taking it from the individual and making it bigger, but seeing God working through all of us. So I see God as behind times of forgiveness and behind times of letting go, behind times of restoration, of healing and of renewal, of new life, and of hope and promise, as these stories tell us. And that comes in body, mind, and soul, and in land as well. God is the soil of my being and of your being, of and the ground of our being. The love that grounds loving and that acts with us, restoring our own and our world's brokenness. As we human beings are part of this amazing web of life, of creation, just think of it in all of its wholeness, this grounding, healing, nurturing, restoring, and loving nature of God that's with and within us and beyond us. For me, that has to mean that I can witness, that I can picture and see a continuation and an assurance in those stories of covenant with Noah and with Abraham. And that those covenants are still valid in a new way, but in a consistent way today, that the stories hold truths. So I look for times and places of newness, of healing, of new life, of letting go and freedom. I look for times and places like where we have reforestation happening, the natural or intentional restocking of existing forests and woodlands that have been depleted through deforestation, trees just taken down. When we plant new trees, when we reforest an area, it helps wildlife, it helps fight or manage climate change. It is also our carbon offsetting efforts that make cleaner soil and waterways and shorelines. And we learn that nature is forgiving and nature is loving and healing. And for me, that means God is behind all of that. I believe that somehow there is God somewhere behind it, working with and through nature's systems, nature's laws and powers, but working with and through each of us who have the ability and the knowledge and the wisdom to be a part of the healing of nature with nature. So we can think of other initiatives too, like the cleaning up of our oceans. There's the Ocean Cleanup Project that's working to remove big pieces of plastic before they can be broken down into those microfibers or microplastics that just kill life. And there's restoration projects for farmlands that turn them from being abandoned or unusable or wilderness hunks of land into being fertile again. And there's those people who are working to restore fish schools, clearing waterways and passages, replenishing lakes from where they have been depleted. All of this is our work with God, is a part of life, a part of this web. But it happens for us too, not just out there, but for us too inside. When we, whatever we are facing, when we find courage and strength and hope and trust that new life is possible for us as well. And sometimes it is just a mystery. But here's a story, a true story, about a woman from Montreal. Her name is Sophie Sureau. You might remember her, perhaps. She was a business school graduate working in sales and marketing for an international company that was based in Brazil. Her drive to success was so strong, her friends gave her a new name. They called her the Bulldozer. And it was her nickname, but it really spoke to who she was, too. In October in 2002, Sureau went to Indonesia with her boyfriend for a much-needed week's vacation. But on the night of the 12th of that month, she was standing in a nightclub in Bali when suddenly a bomb was detonated, blowing up the building that she was standing in, and her life changed. Sureau survived the blast, but she would spend the next 35 days in a Singapore hospital with third-degree burns to 25% of her body. And then, returning to Canada, her recovery was slow and difficult, and pain, both emotional and physical, was her constant companion, and she nearly gave in to the temptation of suicide. But she bulldozed on with strength and courage and help from others. Having emerged from the worst of her emotional darkness, she came to realize life would never be the same to what had been before the trip to Bali. And at some profound level, she recognized that finally that was okay, that something new was happening or going to be born for her, that all was not lost. The experience changed her life in many ways. It changed her priorities in life, and it would change others' lives too. Believing the burn sufferers and their families could use a hand as she did through the pain and confusion following a trauma, Suro, along with a doctor and another burn survivor in Montreal, helped to found an association for burn patients, and it's called Helping Hands for Burn Survivors. And they created it to offer support, just as so many people had supported her, supported Suro. Suro found a renewed purpose, a restoration, and a new life in her life, and believes that God met her in her dark time. In that time, created a fertile soil that there would be new life that would grow in her and spread and help others too. It affected and restored the life of many more beyond her. These scripture stories that we have in creation time from the ancients, from our witnesses of the past, help to turn our focus to who we are, and what we believe, and how we are, and what we think about this web of life that we live in creation, and help us to look for hope in all things. So we are invited to see water in a new way, and soil, the ground, in a new way, to see God and nature in a new way, to see our relationship with it all new too, and to see ourselves and really look at how we are actually living with respect in all of creation, and to see that the promise of restoration and new life is always possible, even when unknown and mysterious. It's about belief and faith and knowing in our being beyond just knowing stories, but knowing it, being totally grounded in the stories and in the hope and promise they offer. And that's being grounded in God, who is the ground of our being. So here's another story about faith and trust and belief. It's about a man named George. One day, George announced to his neighbor that he was going to take his wheelbarrow and he was going to go across Niagara Falls on a wire. All our neighbors think that, right? But the neighbor asked, "When are you going to do this, George?" And he replied, "When I'm ready." And he set out to practice in his backyard. He set up a wire a couple of feet off the ground, and approximately the length that he would need to go across Niagara Falls. I guess he had a big backyard. But for weeks, the neighbor would watch him go back and forth. He would stumble, he would fall, he would go further, but he went across that wire with his wheelbarrow. And the weeks turned to months. Finally, George had perfected it. He could do it, that few feet off the ground, but he could do it. And so he announced to his neighbor he was ready for the big test. So the neighbor went with him, a neighborly, friendly, caring thing to do, went with him to Niagara Falls to watch it happen, to watch his neighbor go across the falls on the wire with his wheelbarrow. George was ready to go across. And when he saw his neighbor standing there in the front row, he leaned over to him and he said, "Do you believe I can do this?" And his neighbor said, "Yes, I do believe it, George." "Well, are you certain I can do this?" "Yes, George, I've seen you practice day after day, rain or shine. There's no doubt that you can do this." So George looked at him straight in the eye and he said, "Do you really believe I can do this?" "Yes, George, I really believe it." And then George said, "Great, get in the wheelbarrow." Our ancient stories tell us wonderful things about hope and promise. They tell us about God with us and about not giving up. So the stories continue that Sarai had a child named Isaac who would have two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Esau would become the father of the Edomites. Edom was an ancient kingdom in the Transjordan area about 13th century BC. His younger by seconds brother Jacob would become known as the father of the Israelites. His name would be made Israel, the person and the people. And the nation would grow on the fertile land that God gave them. And they call that land still Ha'aretz. It's the land with the Jordan River, the symbol of liberation and freedom and new life. It's the land of Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Nazareth. And it's the land in which Jesus, love incarnate, would be born and live and die and live again. A new life and hope and promise all in that place. And thanks be to God.